The text I've chosen today is in that same chapter of Matthew 11 that Mike read this morning. He read the entire chapter in order to give us a context. And I guess I will just ask all my listeners, either today or in the future, as people listen to this sermon, to just be patient with me, as I clearly am at a bit of a disadvantage, having a little and more than a little touch of laryngitis. But I pray that perhaps the irritating quality of my voice won't be something that takes away the blessing that we could receive. Let's read Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These words of our Savior are directed toward the unsaved. This is a gospel call by the Lord to the unsaved among the multitudes he was addressing. And of course, that would have been the vast majority of that multitude. This is a gospel call. It's the grace offered after the law had been preached. It was the perfect gospel call for those to whom the Lord was preaching. He knew their hearts, and he knew just what to say, because he is indeed the incarnate Word. But this is a gospel call that we can all preach as well. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This gospel call is filled with grace and truth. Well, that ought not to surprise us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. But some say that the Lord Jesus came to set aside the law then. Not so. Certainly he is the antitype, that the types of the Mosaic law were pointing toward. Certainly he is that priest after the order of Melchizedek, and is his people's great high priest. And of course he's the surety of the new covenant. And so the Mosaic law, ceremonial and judicial, is done away with. And the Levitical priesthood, including the Aaronic high priesthood, is done away with. But Christ didn't come to set aside even one jot or one tittle of the moral law. He came to fulfill it and provide the righteousness needed for his people to be justified before God. He didn't neglect the law in his preaching. To the extent that he deemed necessary in each case, he made a sharp application of the law, sometimes sharper than other times. There's a time when the soul is ready for grace. There's a time when more law is needed. But he prepared the way for the gospel of grace, which is a gospel of peace with God, by the use of the law. Mike has already read the whole chapter. We could go back and consider verse 20 through 24 when he upbraids these cities he's talking about. And make no mistake, he's talking about the people in the cities. He uses the sharpest terms. He rebukes them. And then we have this call, this gospel call to sinners. This text also has important implications for believers. So this text, of course, we want to look at it as a gospel call. And then secondly, I would like to at least preach, as God helps me, some of what this text ought to say to those in Christ. Our Lord preaches to the multitudes, come unto me. Come unto me. If there had been any hyper-Calvinists among the multitudes who heard our Lord preach, I don't doubt they would have taken him to task for saying, come unto me. They would have been howling, this man is denying the finished work of Christ. This man is preaching a gospel of works. This man is preaching a false gospel. They would have been howling because Christ said, come unto me. False gospel. A denial of the finished work of Christ. That preacher is expecting dead men by their own will to believe and be saved. Nothing of the sort. Look at the context. What did Christ preach? He preached the law. And then what did he preach in verse 27? All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him. There is a difference between preaching the gospel to the lost as compared with preaching to spiritual men concerning such things as the irresistible grace of God, effectual calling and election. In short, there's a difference between preaching the gospel to the lost and teaching those in Christ what the Scriptures reveal of the unseen work of the Spirit of God in the salvation of souls. And that is a work that we ought to speak of and set about understanding with great humility and care and be gracious to one another within certain bounds. Hyper-Calvinists don't seem to understand this. They're too busy listening for any deviation from their own deviant doctrines. They are a stumbling block to the people of God wanting to know the true doctrines of God. They are a scourge on the body of Christ. They are a plague. They can't listen to a gospel preacher without listening for one little deviation from what they think he should be saying. They say it's for the glory of God. It's for their own glory. I think I heard an off note in that gospel song. I think the preacher forgot to put a period or an exclamation mark in that otherwise wonderful gospel sonnet. They are the speech police of the church. Now, for my part, I'm not interested, the least bit interested, in preaching an Arminian gospel, a neo-evangelical gospel, or a hyper-Calvinist gospel. From time to time, I'm rebuked by individuals representing all three of those constituencies. The first rebukes me for what I preach to Christians of what the Scriptures say concerning the decree, the design, and the work of God in the salvation of souls. The second, the neo-evangelicals, rebuke me for preaching the law to the unsaved. And the third, the hyper-Calvinists, rebuke me for preaching grace to the unsaved instead of preaching to them as if they were already saved, as if they were already spiritual men. My desire, with regard to the lost, is to preach the same gospel, the same gospel of grace preached by the Lord and by His apostles. The same gospel we ought all to be preaching. The gospel call is not take Jesus into your heart, as the neo-evangelical would say. The gospel call is not be saved and then by your own works make sure you stay saved, as the Arminian would say. The gospel call is not you make a decision for Christ, or and on and on. The gospel call, which, by the way, is only effectually heard by sinners after the Holy Spirit has worked in them, worked repentance in their heart, is come. Come to Christ. Come. Come and welcome. The call to sinners cut to the heart by the law and convinced in their conscience of their helpless, condemned state under the law is come. Come to Christ. As we've already seen from the context of our text, and as we will see from the text we're looking at, this is not to say we neglect grace or preach universalism. But we preach the righteousness of God. We preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified for sinners. We preach the lost, helpless, hopeless estate of sinners. And then we exhort sinners to seek the Lord, to turn to the Lord. We preach, come, come to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This gospel call echoes the preachers of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Turn. Seek. Come. The call to sinners is come to Christ. Come to Christ and drink freely of the water of life. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The call to sinners is come, come to Christ. Come to Christ. The explanation to believers is, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And again, same chapter 6 of John, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The law must precede grace, but the gospel of grace is come to Christ. Come to Christ. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel call is to those who have labored to justify themselves by the law, to save themselves, to be accepted by God on account of their own works. And yet they have no peace. Their conscience condemns them. They're convicted of sin by the law. Their own sin confronts them in all its heinous quality as God sees it. And they're heavy laden with the knowledge that they're condemned by the very thing by which they hope to be saved. They're under this yoke of the law and this terrible burden of knowing that they have sinned. They have come short of the glory of God. Their conscience does convict them of their lost state. And Christ also speaks, of course, here to all who labor and are heavy laden under the guilt and dominion and consequences and tyranny of sin. To those who are aware of their condition, who are convicted. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he says. That's what we preach to sinners. Only Christ can redeem you from the wrath of God. Only Christ can set you free and redeem you from the curse of the law and the dominion of sin. Christ is well able, by his blood, and by his righteousness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to purge you of your sin, to clothe you in a robe of righteousness, and put an end to the law's condemnation, and bring rest to your conscience. So we preach, come to Christ, and be brought into a vital, unbreakable union with him, so that his blood never stops cleansing, and his righteousness never stops pleading before the throne of God on your behalf, so that you not only rest from this vain attempt to save yourself, but you rest from this condemnation of your conscience, and you rest knowing in this life, this valley of the shadow of death, you are assured of a glorious eternal rest with Christ and the whole ransomed church of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest. Because he gives rest, you shall find rest. It's guaranteed by his blood and his righteousness, by his eternal priesthood. To come to Christ and be brought into Christ is to be redeemed from the curse of the law, to be freed from the covenant of works, which demands perfect, pure, perpetual obedience as the condition for eternal life. This is a hard yoke no man can bear. No sinful fallen man, no son of Adam can bear this yoke. But the Son of God bore it for us and bore it perfectly. Kept every jot and tittle of the law and provides his righteousness for his people. Those in Christ are under the covenant of grace as expressed in the new covenant. Those in Christ are under the law to Christ, but freed from the law's curse and condemnation due to Christ's imputed righteousness. And they're freed from the dominion of sin, from being a slave to sin, from bearing sin's yoke and its burden. Our Lord says, my yoke is easy. Easy, translated from the Greek, means that it's a better yoke. There's still a yoke, but it's a better yoke. And it's a gracious yoke. Grace, by grace are you saved, by grace do we live. By grace do we serve God. By all the graces and gifts of God, we're able to serve him and that with joy. This is the yoke of Christ. Those sinners whom have not been convicted by the Spirit of God say they find the yoke of sin to be easy. Many of them say that. And the burden of sin, light. Of course, it won't always be that way for them. But perhaps they think it is now. Perhaps it is to some extent now. But most sinners, if they're honest, are willing to admit, well, at least to themselves, that there is some sting to sin in this life. There is some weight to it. And the yoke of sin can be hard at times. There's consequences, even in this life. But then it's a burden they gladly bear unless the Holy Spirit has begun to work in their heart. Because they love the wages of unrighteousness. Some say they're not afraid of hell. Well, I would say to them, you know that sin has already stung you. You know the sin has been a heavy burden at times. Every sinner knows that. He bears consequences for his actions in this world too. You know that yoke of sin can be hard at times. What do you think hell will be like? It's only going to magnify all that to an infinite number. Those consequences of sin and the wrath of God that abides on you. I was reading a few days ago from 1 Kings. Rehoboam came into the office of his father. And the people came to him and said, they asked him if he would make their yoke a little lighter. Solomon had put a heavy yoke on them. And this is how he answered. Now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. If you think that sin, that serving sin, can at times be a heavy yoke in this world, and at times, I should say a hard yoke, and at times sin can be a heavy burden. If you felt the sting of sin's consequences, wait until you're in hell and you feel the full wrath of God poured out on you. You'll go from whips to scorpions. This yoke that you think is heavy now at times, there'll be no comparison. And you'll bear that yoke for all eternity. Now those sinners who willingly bear the yoke and the burden of sin, they see the yoke of Christ as hard, his burden heavy. But to those sinners weary of being ruled by sin, weary of the consequences of sin, weary of their guilty conscience, weary of the fear they feel when they consider the holiness of God, their own unrighteousness, to those sinners who have not only realized the inevitability and the awfulness of death and the grave, but the terror of the Lord and the horror of hell, to those, Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sinners are called to lay down their arms, to surrender their pride, surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give up their false hope. Confess their condemned state. And come to Christ. Come to Christ. He's the one that'll break the yoke that's finally become too hard for the sinner to bear. He's the one that'll lift the burden that's become too heavy. Come to Christ for eternal life. Trust in Christ and he'll put his yoke upon you. He'll wash you. He'll justify you. He'll sanctify you. He'll quicken you by the Holy Spirit to new life. Old things will be passed away. Behold, all things will become new. He will forever unite you to himself and his body, the church. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Being united to Christ is the way of service and sanctification. It's the way of spiritual health and growth, joy and peace with God. There is a yoke. He is our King. He is our Master. But it's an easy yoke. It's a gracious yoke. There is a burden. It is a way of service. There will be persecution at times. We will bear Christ's reproach. It's a way of sacrifice. But this yoke is easy and gracious, and this burden is light because those in Christ love Christ and love to serve him and want to stand with him and count themselves blessed if they're counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Those truly in Christ don't chafe under this sanctifying yoke of his. They don't find service to him a heavy burden, but rather they find it a joyful, joyful burden they gladly undertake. And a gracious yoke. And you know that faith without works is dead. Those who won't come under the yoke of Christ, those who won't bear his burden, bring into question their faith. Our Lord says to those he calls to himself, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come to Christ, take his yoke, and learn of him. The Lord Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. His concern was for his lost sheep. The Pharisees didn't care about sinners. They didn't care about the glory of God. They loved the praises of men. They walked about in long robes. They made a show of their religion, but they were utterly devoid of compassion and love and zeal for God. And a concern for sinners. But not so the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Take his yoke. Learn of him. The Lord Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. His concern was for his lost sheep. His concern was for his lost sheep. Our Lord was meek and lowly in heart. He wasn't seeking his own glory. His concern was the glory of God and the people of God. His concern was to seek and save that which was lost. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek and save those who were bruised, who were weighed down under this hard yoke of their sin and the burden of knowing, as they heard the word of God preached, and even before by their conscience and by the holiness of God revealed through his own creation, even who knew that they were under condemnation. He came for those, the bruised reeds, the smoking flax. Christ Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to lay down his life for his sheep. He came to be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was oppressed, the prophet Isaiah says, chapter 53. And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Oh, we know the Lord opened his mouth and preached. We know he wasn't shy about confronting false teachers and hard-hearted sinners. But he set his face toward Jerusalem and the cross. And he went meekly and humbly to the cross in obedience to his Father to save his people from their sins. Learn from him. He says, learn from me. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. If you're striving after your own righteousness, you're not being meek and humble. If you're concerned with your own glory, you're not being meek and humble. You're not going to find any rest. But God hath made Christ to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Brought into Christ, to a vital union with him, laying aside our pride, laying aside all of our ungodly ambitions, all of our fears, and wanting to feed on the pure milk of God's word, and to go on to meet and to learn of Christ and know him. But the scriptures say this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is Paul speaking. We all feel as if we're chief of all sinners, don't we? We do, if we're humble and meek as we ought to be when we approach the throne of God. We consider his holiness, his righteousness, and then we consider us. And we consider how God looks on sin, even the omission of spiritual duties, and we look upon us. When we look back on what we may have done before we were saved, and even afterwards, we say, I'm the chief of sinners. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save me, the chief of sinners. For this reason he came. For this reason he died, and for this reason he rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father. He didn't come to parade around dressed in scarlet and purple, wearing a crown like the Pope, seeks his own glory. Christ Jesus wasn't seeking his own glory. In his time of humiliation here, Christ sought the glory of his Father, and he obeyed his Father in all things. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. He obeyed his Father in all things. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. It doesn't mean that he was disobedient. Christ wasn't disobedient. Christ had an impeccable soul. Could not sin because he was God and is God, manifest in the flesh. But he experienced obedience through the things he suffered. Experientially speaking, he learned obedience by actually, as a man, suffering for his obedience to his Father to redeem sinners from their sins. He perfectly kept the law. His obedience was perfect, both in his passive obedience on the cross and in his active obedience, obeying the law. He was meek. He was lowly. He didn't strive against the law of God. He obeyed it. And yet he's the one that wrote it. It reflects his will. He's Almighty God, eternal God. And yet he submitted himself as a man to that law. And so the gospel call is come to Christ, sinner. Come to Christ, sinner. Come humbly and with meekness. Take his yoke and learn of him. Lest anyone misuse what the Lord said about being meek and lowly in heart and say, you, you street preacher, you should be more meek and lowly. Quiet down. Go away. You who are confronting evil out in the world, go away. This isn't what Jesus would have done. Well, he was zealous for his Father's house, wasn't he? Wasn't he fierce against all false teachers? And isn't he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And even in his humiliation here on earth, he said, woe unto you, to the Pharisees, vipers, whitewashed sepulchers, woe unto you. Didn't he say, in our chapter here we've looked at, didn't he say, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, and you'll be brought down to hell? So don't misuse that. Look at him now. Peter says, him hath God exalted. His right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel, forgiveness of sins. A prince and a savior. And look ahead. When men will say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So don't misuse this meek and lowly in heart. But to the sinner, heavy laden with guilt and hopelessness. Then we preach, come unto me, the Lord Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can't find rest in your works. You can't find rest in the things of the world. You can't find rest in just saying, well, I'm only such and such years old. I could be here a long time. Time enough to think about all these things that are bothering me, dealing with this conscience that's plaguing me because of the sin, because of the Holy Spirit, because of God's law written in your heart, because of the love shown by God to you. We say, come unto Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Ye shall find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ye shall find rest, he says, because I will give you rest. There is no rest anywhere else. But the rest that we have in Christ, we can be assured of. No one can take it away because he gave it to us. I want to just give a few implications of this text now for those in Christ. I've talked about sinners. I've talked about the lost. The purpose of this text was a gospel purpose. It's Christ preaching to the lost. But there are implications to those in Christ. Bear with me a little while longer. First, the things that I spoke of concerning Christ being meek and lowly ought to resonate with us. Our concern ought to be for the glory of God, for the good of his church, for the salvation of souls. We ought to put our pride in the dust. We ought to not so quickly fly at each other's throats or fly out the door of a church if we run into something that, well, this isn't right where I stand right now. I understand this is acceptable. This is within the bounds of orthodoxy, but I don't like it. Or I don't like how the preacher may be preached at. And you shouldn't fly at the throat of the preacher. You ought to come to him with your concern. Bring the Bible. Talk. Ask. We have to humbly, meekly, eagerly submit ourselves to the word of the Lord, including as it's faithfully preached and taught by those who have been given to the church as pastors and teachers. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And again in the Proverbs, this is 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We ought to be a little meek and lowly, shouldn't we, about the doctrines of the Bible. We ought not to use them, dress ourselves up in them, posture in them and say, look at me, I am this or I am that, and you're way off. Let me give you a few scenarios. Let me do a little philosophizing here. I hear way too much of that. People simply saying, well, what if? Or let me give you an example. The way I look at it, and I hear too much of that among Christians. Instead of a little more meekness, a little more lowly spirit, seeking truth for the sake of knowing truth and glorifying God, standing by the scriptures carefully, cautiously, reverently, patiently, looking into the word of God, considering what's being preached, proving it by the scriptures, but not by our own prejudices, not by pressures from other people, not by anything except by the scriptures as the Holy Spirit leads. Now next we ought to consider this yoke of Christ and how we wear it. We're yoked to Christ to follow and obey Him. We're yoked to Christ's church, including submission to proper church government. Those who find this yoke hard ought to be concerned for their souls. And I want to mention the burden which Christ spoke of as light. A burden. Christ puts a burden on us to serve Him. We each have our own load to carry. Doesn't it say that in the scriptures? We have spiritual duties. Those who have no burden for the Lord's work, those who refuse to bear any burden, perhaps haven't come to Christ at all. And I think also we do well to consider these words of our Lord, I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The Lord speaks in a plural tense there. He says, you and ye, with regard to rest for the soul. In other words, as He preached, Christ Jesus was saying, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden. And He says, and I will give you rest. And He says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He preached with the meaning of whosoever in the multitude, whosoever would come. He wasn't looking at one individual. He was preaching to the whole multitude, and whosoever will come. And all who have truly come to Christ by grace through faith, rest. They have rest for their souls. They have rest because He gives rest. He assures rest. He guarantees rest. He guards rest. We rest in Christ. This isn't to say we never have a fierce fight with sin. It's not to say we never have a sharp engagement with the devil. It's not to say we don't have trouble in this world. But the one who is in Christ rests in Christ. We have a blessed assurance. Scriptures say we have a strong consolation. We rejoice with joy inexpressible. Because this rest we have is kept by the power of God. The salvation we have is not in our own hands, but it's kept in heaven for us. Those who don't have this rest for their souls need to be concerned for their souls. I will give you rest, He says, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Christ has given the sinner rest. If the sinner is resting now in Christ, then he has rest for his soul. And this should show to some extent, shouldn't it? And we would hope more and more and more it would show. This raises the issue of those who clearly have no rest. I'm thinking of those who unsettle the body of Christ with their instability. I'm thinking of those who agitate the body of Christ and bring trouble to her. I'm thinking of those who stir up dissent in an ungodly fashion. I'm thinking of those who foment confusion. I'm thinking of those who have no respect for those who have been given the heavy burden of watching over their souls. I'm thinking of those who clearly lead disorderly, undisciplined lives. I'm thinking of those who use the Church of God for their own means. I'm thinking of them. They have no rest. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. I'm thinking of those whose lives, it's just like a troubled sea, constantly agitating, mire and dirt. They might look even good on Sunday, but at home, their home is disorderly. It's like a troubled sea, mire and dirt, constantly being stirred up. Do you know some like that who say they're in Christ? Pray for their souls. Pray for their souls. The prophet Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the old ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? They're not in the good way. Walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I want to speak to you just a little bit longer. Specifically, I want to speak to Christians concerning our Lord's promise. I will give you rest. The devil wants to destroy your rest. The devil wants to destroy your rest in Christ. The devil seeks to exploit us when we're weak. The devil's a roaring lion looking for opportunities. This is how he works. I say it without any hesitation. This is how he works. He seeks to exploit us when we're weak. Look out when you're weak. It's an opportune time to tempt us into sin. When we're hard pressed. When we're weary. When we're worn out. When we're discouraged. When we're troubled in our spirits. When we're embroiled in controversy. The old serpent will hiss. Come to me, I will give you rest. Come away for a while and rest with me. Turn to worldly diversions. Is that so terrible? Just get away from all of this for a while. Turn to carnal things. Turn to sensual things. Turn to forbidden things. I'll give you rest. Turn to the things which thrill the flesh. I'll give you rest. This is what the devil says. Neglect prayer. What good is it doing you anyway? Neglect the reading of the scriptures. Neglect your relationship with the Lord. What's the use? I'll give you rest. Come away with me for a while. I'll give you rest. That's the strategy of the devil. But there is no rest in turning away from the Lord, toward the world, and toward sin. The diversions the flesh loves war against the soul and her peace. We only find rest in Christ, but he says we will find rest in Christ. Come, come to me, he says. You shall find rest for your souls. He says, I will give you rest. When the devil rises up against you, when your flesh comes against you, if you're just going through hard times, if you're struggling with weaknesses or sicknesses or whatever it might be, he says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, you shall find rest for your souls. Come to Christ, but come to Christ in faith, nothing doubting. You have to overcome the flesh and flee to him and find rest. Rest from all these assaults of the devil. Rest from that body of death, the sin nature, which seeks to drag you off into sin, which is pleasurable for a season. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says this, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Every preacher needs to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Every preacher needs to preach with the law, but he needs to preach grace as well. He needs to encourage the people when they need encouragement. We should all know how to speak a word in season and comfort the people of God. There's so much evil in this world. There's so many battles to be fought. There's so much wickedness. It's so easy to just lapse into the depths of despair and grieve when you look at your children, you look at the children, you look at all the wretched, vile temptation there is in the world. It doesn't look wretched and vile, much of it, does it? Some of it doesn't look so wretched and vile, but it is. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Come to me. He says, rest in me, ye shall find rest. As we look around our country and see so much tyranny and wickedness, we see evil advancing on all fronts. We see a society soaked in sin, licentiousness. He says, come to me, ye shall find rest. I will give you rest. And there's so much danger. So many Christians don't even realize the danger that's there. I mean, maybe you've never lost someone close to you. Maybe you've never lost a friend, family member, a relative. Maybe you've never, you're still young, you don't understand that this is a valley of the shadow of death that we're walking through. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't mean there isn't rest available in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is why the world is the way it is. This is why there's death. This is why there's sorrow. This is why there's disease, because sin has entered into the world. And yet Christ says, I will give you rest. You shall find rest. You can look ahead, and you're looking, each one of you, you ought to go dig a grave and look into it, because that's your destination in this world. And each of your loved ones will be laid in a grave as well. You ought to stop and think about it. I don't care how young you are. But I will give you rest, he says. You can find rest in Christ. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Psalm 116, verses 7 and 8. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will give you rest. And Satan will do everything in his power to rob the Christian's soul of peace and rest. You know, he will insist that you'll never have victory over some stubborn sin. You're fighting it, but you'll never have victory. He'll say that. If you're in Christ, you will have victory. He'll taunt you with past sins. He'll terrify you with future dangers. He'll do everything he can to corrupt your mind, to vex your soul, and to shake your faith. Not so Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, he says. Come in faith, never doubting. Come to me. Come to me. The song says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. Control your minds. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. He shed that blood for your soul to save you, to keep you, to give you rest. You belong to him. You're in Christ Jesus, who has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You're in Christ, who said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He comforts us in all our tribulation. The scriptures say, 2 Corinthians verses, chapter 1, verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Seek your rest in Christ. Leave off all this striving after the world. We all need to leave off all this striving after the world. Get rid of the immaturity. Some people say, oh, I need rest. I need rest. You don't need rest. You need to grow up. You need to mature. It's in your head. Grow up. Mature. Turn to Christ. Be strengthened in the Lord. But he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.